Good morning, church, and a special welcome to all of our guests. It's awesome. Fills up the whole middle of the church. Be nice if you're a little closer. Anyways, it's awesome to see you guys out today. I'm honored that you would come and spend New Year's Eve here. I hope your trip was good. And may every time you come, your family get bigger. That's nice to see. Oh, awesome. Well, I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas and are now looking forward to the new year with hopefully anticipation and excitement. I know that could be a little bit low on the Richter scale at this time, but you know, I think that we need as God's children to have that expectation to see more of the glory of God, because that's what we're hearing, you know, arise, shine, and the glory of the Lord is going to rise upon you. And I know I've heard many talking about the glory coming to the church. And, you know, and I wonder what that looks like sometimes. You know, you think about it and you think of your own life and you think, how can I get from where I'm at here to what they're saying is the church is going to enter into? And sometimes it seems so far away that you think, oh man, this isn't going to happen for years and years, and I might not even be on the planet anymore when that happens, because of the, at least seemingly, we feel this distance that we have. I know I do, you know. I mean, I think, wow, how is it that we're going to be in this place and be operating in these signs and wonders and be seeing these things? And that, you know, according to what the prophecies are going forward today, and I've listened to a lot of them, and many very good prophets and people that I respect in the Word of God, and many of them are saying that this huge glory is the year of God's glory. And so if that's so, we can be excited and have that anticipation to see what the Lord has in store this year. But I'm very aware, you know, none of us are ignorant. If we look around in the world at the chaos and the darkness, which seems to be increasing, we could become very cynical. You know, it's easy to become cynical, and I've met different people, even Christians, who are like, it's nothing good is going to come to pass here. I mean, this is only going to get worse. You know, and we say things like this, and we hear things like that, and you might even be here sitting here thinking that 2024 isn't going to be much different than 2023. I mean, I've been there. In fact, I think it's going to get worse. I do believe that the world is going to get worse. And we need to do that separation. You're not of the world. You're not in the world any longer. Okay? We're in the body of Christ. We are in Christ. We are His children. And so even though it might look really bleak and dark for the world, it ought to be opposite in the church. But it's like I said, it's easy for us to get caught up in the darkness and in the doom and the gloom and the high prices and the whatever. I mean, we all have to catch ourselves, because we still live in this world, right? And so we very often get caught up in what's going on around us in the world. But, you know, in the natural, it might be true that it's going to get worse, and I do believe it will. But you got to remember, you're not in the natural. The Bible says you are no longer in the flesh, but you are in the spirit. Therefore, we must continually keep our eyes on the things not that are seen, but the things that are not seen. Otherwise, you're going to end up being in the dark just as much as those in the world. You'll be living in that darkness. Because, you know, even though the enemy may be able to strip us of our human rights, and that's where it's kind of going, and you hear so much hoopla and uprising of people, you know, that this is, we want our rights back, we're stand for your rights, and, you know, push, push, push. And the Holy Spirit said to me something at the beginning, or actually at the end of the year, concerning human rights. And of course, as a pastor, you always have to be always looking ahead. Like, what do you have for your people next year? And, you know, how do I now box all this up from what happened last year and learn from it and go into the new year with a whole new perspective? And so, even though, you know, I was thinking about these human rights and how we're really pushing back and, you know, stand up for what's right and truth and so on. And, you know, one thing the Lord said to me very quietly in my heart is, what about your spiritual rights? I'm going to talk about human rights. the rights in this world. What about the spiritual rights? Has the Christian stood up and said, no, 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 that belongs to me? Are we fighting back? Or are we fighting back for the things in the flesh? Because the things in the flesh are passing away. Makes no difference. But are you fighting for your spiritual rights? And what I believe what the Lord has been revealing in my heart for 2024 is in the church is that, listen carefully, we are not victims to what the world is throwing at us. We're not victims to it. But we must rise up and be victors, victorious. Amen? We're not victims to what the world is what's going on in the world. You know, when the year 2023 came upon us and, you know, the darkness and the, I call it evil, the unbelievable began to happen, it just seemed to be accelerating and to a whole new level. And I began to pray during that time. The Holy Spirit must have prompted me to pray for perception. Lord, I want to see. I know the Lord isn't being shook up. The Lord has got everything in control. I know that. The Bible tells me the earth is His, the fullness thereof. God's not shaken by what's going on. In fact, He's doing the shaking. And so I said, God, I need to see as you see. I need to, you know what I'm saying? Because as you see, so you are. If you're looking at things through the eyes of the world, you're going to be afraid. I need to see what you see, God. I want to see your heart. I want to see exactly as you perceive things to be. I want to know that truth. And that began to just go over and over in my heart. And Lord, this is what I want. This is what I want more than anything. And so that was a prayer I prayed, kept on praying and giving thanks for. And about 5 days ago, I didn't know what that looked like. You know, to know when the Lord was showing me His perception. You know what I'm saying? Like, how does that look? I've got the word. I've got the truth. How does that all? And anyways, about 5 days ago, I was watching on television a broadcast, a news broadcast, and they had reported, and possibly some of you have heard this, they had reported that a Catholic church in Italy had portrayed a crib scene, a Christmas crib scene. Anybody heard that story? And Anson's going, yeah. Anyways, in this crib scene, where you saw the traditional family, Mary on one side, Joseph and baby Jesus in the middle, it was depicted, the crib was depicted with two females. The one on the right had on the rainbow color robe, and the one on the left, well, I'm not sure, it was just a female. And the priest was interviewed or was spoken to and asked, why would you do something like this? And he said that he felt it was, you know, a warm message and reminded us that all families, oh, there's all kinds of families and families can be diverse. That was his response. Now, my first reaction to this was, I was abhorred. I was like, you got to be kidding me. No, this can't be happening. And I was horrified at, you know, I was as horrified as the reporter was, because even the reporter, you could tell as she was giving the news report, she was like so indignant. And I was horrified as well. But I kid you not, at that was the first moment I can say in my life that I actually had this thought. I sensed that the Holy Spirit on the inside of me was laughing. Anybody ever had that sense? The Holy Spirit on the inside of me was laughing. That was his response. And remember, I'd been praying, Lord, I need to see like you see. He's laughing. And I was like, it sobered me up. I'm like, really? I knew that was the Holy Spirit in me doing that. And then I heard these words in my heart. This changes nothing. This changes nothing. And I, for the first time, I think I got a glimpse of how God is seeing a lot of this stuff. You know, one would think God would be indignant. And, you know, just you think, why doesn't a lightning bolt from heaven come out and just strike this crib and burn it all up or whatever, right? That's what you think, God. If you were God, that's what you would do. Come on. Just smite the crib. God would be indignant or angry at such a scene. But then, like I said, suddenly I realized I'm perceiving this whole thing just as God does. He's laughing. He finds this laughable. Why? Why does God find this laughable? Like I said, you need to get into the head of God. You need to see and think like he thinks and understand as he understands, because I tell you, it'll change your life. Why is this laughable? Because your Heavenly Father and my Heavenly Father is not insecure about who he is. He knows who he is. He's not threatened or thrown off by anything or anyone. No matter how we try to portray him, no matter what we do, we cannot change God. And he laughs at our attempts. He's not threatened or thrown off by anything or anyone. He is God Almighty, creator of all things. And the devil's pathetic attempts to try to bring change into our world, this is what's happening right now. He's trying to change everything. Makes God laugh. It's pathetic. That's how I saw it. These pathetic attempts to undermine or discredit or portray God as being woke or anything else that isn't the truth is laughable. And you can see in all of that, I saw the desperation of the enemy. He knows he's done. He knows that, but he's desperate. And you can see at what's going on in the world today, some of the unbelievable things, how desperate he really is. And God is laughing. He knows his time is short. And so let's not get so riled up over these things, like a crib portraying two women. Because God's not getting worked up over it. It doesn't change who he is. And I heard that as clearly as I'm standing here. It doesn't change me. No matter how you portray me, I am God Almighty. I change not, and so that was the first thing the Lord showed me. But this was the very thing, and then I took it to Scripture. This was the very thing prophesied in Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. Let's go there this morning. Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? Why do the heathen rage? Now that imagine is, first of all, the word devise. Why do the people devise a vain thing? And the word vain is the Hebrew word reek, which means a worthless thing, a thing that has no purpose. And that's what we see in that crib. It's worthless. No purpose for it. But then in verse 4, if you back down to verse 4, it says, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. He laughs at these things. You know, we ought not to let it get under our skin. We ought not to let it destroy our joy. Nothing that's going on in the world we ought to allow to get in and under our skin. We ought to be happy and joyful because we know in whom we have believed. And we know that he will keep us. He doesn't change. Amen? And in verse 4 it says, he that sits in the heavens will laugh. The Lord will have them in derision. The word derision is mockery. He'll make a mockery out of them. So at the end of the day, what I'm really trying to say is this. And get this for 2024. Okay, Satan, we know he's our arch enemy. He's the one that's doing all of this craziness in the earth right now. He's the one that's trying to rise to power and control the whole world. And so everything that we're seeing happen around us is all part of that agenda. It's got different legs and arms and feet, but it's all to one purpose. And remember this, Satan, no matter how hard he tries, he cannot, he never, ever, ever can change truth. He can never change the Word of God. Remind yourself of that every day when you get out of bed. If you're not feeling good today, remind yourself, no matter what, it's all a ploy. He can try to bring pain into my body. He can try to make it look like, can't you see him just like he did that crib scene? God is laughing at his attempts. Because nothing can come against the word of truth. Nothing. And if you stand in that, the devil has to flee and he knows it. And so it is a good thing for 2024 for us to remind ourselves of that, because it is getting darker in this world and we live in this world. So the devil's going to come along and he's going to try to bring fear in your life just like he brings fear into the masses that are living in the world. So remind yourself of that truth, no matter what. The devil cannot change the word of God, no matter what he does or tries. At the end of the day, we need to remind ourselves of this every day going forward. Furthermore, he cannot change what God has done for us in Christ. You are not trying to attain to anything. He has already done it. I believe in 2024, the year the church will stand boldly in spiritual truth, in the truths, and take back what the enemy has been taking from us. I believe that's going to be our year. I know there's been lots talking about revival, and I don't know. I'm not so convinced of that. I taught a sermon, I don't know if Anson and Tanya were on for that one, about how I felt about this great big revival that's going to happen. I do believe the church is going to enter into her time of glory, but I'm not so sure about revival, like where the masses get saved. I don't know. My heart doesn't bear witness with that. And there's several reasons why. There's several reasons why. We won't get into that this morning, but I do have a message, I think, on that online. So in 2024, the church will boldly stand in the truth, I believe that, and begin to take back what the enemy has outed us of. I don't care what it is, whether it's your health, whether it's your finances, your marriage, your relationships, I don't care. This covers everything. Those are your spiritual rights. And like I said to Cameron, in the natural, if somebody takes your house through scams over the, you know, whatever, I've heard of all kinds of that kind of stuff, are you not going to fight back? Are you not going to fight for your natural rights, your human rights, and say, no, this, you know, if squatters move into your house, are you not going to push back and say, no, this is my house? And yet, spiritually, we allow the enemy just, I mean, I'm including myself. I'm talking about the church in general. As long as we can put up with it and live with it, yeah, well, whatever, I can live with this. But I believe we're getting to a point, and that's why the shaking is going on. We won't be able to live with it anymore. We're going to have to take back. And it is ours. It is legally ours. It's not just spiritual. We think of the word spiritual as kind of a word that's like, well, come on, spiritual. That means maybe, to some people that means maybe when we get to heaven. To some people that means it's just my spirit. But it's legal as well. Jesus bought and paid for everything at the cross with his own blood and his own body. It's not just spiritual, it's legal. And so in the natural, we have legal rights that we stand up for. And we fight. We hire the best lawyer. Guess what? One of the words, one of the names that the Holy Spirit is known for is, anybody guess? Paraclete, which means lawyer. He's a lawyer. And so we got the best lawyer. He doesn't lose a case. He's won the case before he enters the courtroom. And so it's yours legally. And I'm here to tell you, we need to stand up and make those things ours. We need to make them ours. So let's not protest so loudly about human rights, but let's, as God's children, let's delve into the spiritual rights. Because once we have the spiritual rights, the human rights will follow. So the first thing we must see, I'm going to speak two things here. First of all, and I just went through that, the devil, he cannot reverse what God has given you freely. He can't reverse it. He can't change it. It's forever settled in the heavens. God has spoken, and nothing can be reversed. At the cross, every curse that sin deserved, not only our sins, but the whole world's sins, was laid on Jesus. And he paid the price. And he never stopped until he said, it is finished. And it is done. It is a perfect work. So all of the curses were reversed into blessings at the cross, bought and paid for, like I said before, with the body and blood of God's own Son. God has declared you righteous in Christ, in his Son. And as such, you have the right to all of the blessings. You have the right. They belong to you. He did it for you. Jesus didn't need to die on the cross. Everything he did was for you. He became a man, came down from heaven. He died He bled. He did everything for you, as you. Even when he was raised from the dead, he was raised for our righteousness, our justification. Do you know he was raised up to sit at the right hand of the Father? Not because he's the Son of God, but he's there because of you. He sits at the right hand of God making intercession for you. He's your high priest. And so he forever lives because of you. And I think it frustrates Jesus when we don't receive everything he's done, he's about, he's trying so hard. First of all, he has to give it all up to get it to you, and now he's going to probably give it all up again to get you to take it. You know? Really. Have you ever had that situation where you only meant good for someone and they're just not going to receive it, whether it's your kids or your pets or whatever? That's how God is. It's like, come on, you guys. It is time. Come and get what belongs to you. So you have the right to be healthy. You have the right to be prosperous. You have the right to be whole and sound in every way, mentally, physically, and in your circumstances. It legally belongs to you, and the devil cannot change it. Do you understand? As long as you stand on that word, as long as you hold on to that word, he cannot. He's done, and he knows it. He can't strip you of your rights. Why? You have the Holy Spirit. Secondly, and I think this is where a lot of us miss it, there are no steps. None. No steps to receiving all of your blessings, your miracle. Call it what you like. And the moment you put any effort into trying to receive something from God, you have contaminated, you have undermined the perfect work of Jesus. And I can't stress that enough, because we so many times mess it up for ourselves and we wonder why we can't receive. You know, right after God spoke or gave Moses the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, we're not going to go back and read all of that, but I'm going to just share this short little passage of scripture. It says, God drew near to Moses right after the commandments were given. Remember when the people were standing at Mount Sinai and the whole thing was shaken and was on fire and there was, well, the Bible says lightning and thundering. Now, I know it's not really lightning and thunder they saw. We're not going to get into that either, but it was a terrifying, terrifying experience, the Bible says. So right after that, God comes to Moses and he says to him, tell the children of Israel that they have seen today that I have talked with them from heaven. And then verse 25, he says, you will not make gods of silver or of gold, verse 24, an altar of earth will you make me, and sacrifice thereon burnt offerings and peace offerings, you, your sheep and your oxen, in all places where I reserve my name. And I will come unto thee there, and I will bless thee. Verse 25. And if you will make me an altar of stone, you will not build it of hewn stone. In other words, you will not crack the stones or shape the stones to build this altar. You just take the stones and you build it. Okay? It says, if you put a tool upon it, you have already polluted it. Verse 26 is where I want to go. Neither will you go up by steps into my altar, that thy nakedness, the word nakedness there means uncleanliness, be not discovered thereon. In other words, it's saying, if you think you're going to put any effort into receiving from me, that's flesh. And as soon as you get into the flesh, you are naked before God. If you don't have Jesus, there's nothing for you. Because the only thing God responds to is Jesus. Do you understand that? In the Old Testament, when the people used to bring the sacrifice, they had to go once a year and they had to bring oxen, sheep, whatever. And they had to offer up for the year this sacrifice for their sin. Now, when they took it to the priest didn't look at the guy and say, yeah, you're a real big sinner. And oh, he's even worse over there. No, no, no. He never even looked at you. What did the priest do? He examined only the sacrifice. He didn't even know what the guy looked like. He was just looking down and just looking, oh yeah, no blemish, no spot. Yeah, he's about the right age. He's good to go. Take your lamb and go. It was all about the sacrifice. But you know what? In the new church, we've made it all about you and me. And that's why we're not receiving. And it's not your fault. I don't believe it's, I believe that people have been robbed by not hearing the full counsel of God, not hearing the message of grace. It cannot be anything you do, because now the sacrifice is now polluted. It's not a little of Jesus and a little of you. It is all Jesus. It's all him or nothing. And the sooner we remember that and walk strongly in it, the better off we're going to be, the more we're going to receive. And that, I believe, is one of the things that really holds a lot of us back in our receiving from God. Because, come on, we just get the feeling like, gee, why me? Why would God want to use me? Why would God want to, you know, why me? I mean, you maybe have these big dreams about yourself, and you think, I'm just not there. I'm not there yet. And so we think that in 10 years from now, believe me, that doesn't help in that way. 10 years from now, I'm going to be in a much better spiritual place where I'm just going to be operating in the power of God. I used to think that when I was a young Christian. I used to think, wait till I'm 50. Ha ha. Nothing changes. In fact, sometimes I think you were better off back then because you were like a child and everything was new and wonderful and you had faith that later on you didn't have, you know. And so don't do that. Salvation is today, you know. And I'm reminded of the early church. You know, think about that. I mean, I know they walked with Jesus and they saw that he was a real person. And you always think, well, that's not fair. You know, they got to see Jesus. They knew he was real. We never saw him with our visible eyes. But, you know, the early church, when Jesus went back to heaven, he said, just stay here until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you go. And, you know, they did go. And man, the miracles and the signs and the wonders, they didn't go to 10 years of Bible college, or they didn't even have a Bible. Did you know that? They didn't have a Bible to study like we do. The Bible wasn't written, I don't think, for another, 60? They had the Old Testament, yes, but not the New Covenant Bible. And it wasn't until Apostle Paul came on the scene that the actual church, the understanding of the church and all of its privileges and blessings in Christ, was actually brought to light. And so for those first early years, there was no Bible. And yet the miracles were astounding. And, you know, I was pondering this truth again the other day. I was thinking about praying for someone who is very near and dear to me and has been deaf her whole life. And now she's losing her eyesight. And it just bothers me so badly. I think that's just not fair, Lord. And anyways, I was thinking about it. And you know how you just have to psych yourself up and you gotta, am I ready for this? And how am I gonna do this? Ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. And I'm standing there and these thoughts are going through my head. And I'm thinking, oh, I don't think I'm ready for this. I don't think I'm ready for this. And then the Lord spoke something in my heart. And of course, later on, I had to go back and study the whole passage. Now, the passage is taken from Acts chapter 3. And the Lord was showing me something through this. And I've read this story so many times. I thought, man, there can't be anything else in the story that I don't know. I could quote it. I could, you know, speak it all out. And so he took me to Acts chapter 3. And this story, of course, we all know the story. Peter and John, right after Jesus goes back to heaven, they're going into the temple to pray at, is it 3 p.m? And of course they come across this lame man. The Bible tells us he was lame from his birth and holding out a can for some money and looking for alms. And John and Peter, of course, they were together, they didn't have any money. So they said unto this lame man, you know, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give unto you in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. So they grabbed him by the wrists and lifted him up. And of course, immediately upon him getting up, his ankles, the Bible says his ankles received strength and he began to run and leap and pray. He was running back into the temple, praising God and giving glory to God. Well, you can imagine the sight and all the people that had gathered there for prayer. Or it says they are in amazement and they're wondering and they're marveling. And then Peter says, as he sees the people rushing towards them, marveling at Peter and John, what does he say in verse 12? Peter says to them, you people of Israel, why are you marveling at this? Or why do you look on us so earnestly, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? That is the scripture God brought. I mean, why would you think that you, by your own power or holiness, you're going to make this woman to see? You see, we get so caught up in, we don't realize it's got nothing to do with us. If you do not bring your sacrifice, you see, it's all about the sacrifice. That's why Cain and Abel, if you go way back to the beginning, Cain's sacrifice was rejected. Why? It was his works. It was the works of the ground. Abel's was blood. If you, and Jesus even said, he didn't get angry with it. He says, if you offer correctly, will you not be accepted? And when we approach God, remember, forget about all your weaknesses and all the things you think you can't do or don't deserve. It's all about your sacrifice. And your sacrifice was perfect 2,000 years ago. He's perfect today. He's perfect right now. So anyone can receive. There is no steps. You don't have to pray up until you feel like you're in the spirit. And I mean, we've been fed a lot of hogwash as to how it's difficult to receive or operate in the miraculous. No, next time you go to help someone's sick, lay your hands on them and remember this scripture. How is it that by my own power or holiness I can make do anything? And lay your hands on and say, Jesus, you do it. Because that's really what you're doing. You're just using, he's just using you to flow into that body. It got nothing to do with you. And the sooner we realize that. And so what am I describing? I'm describing humility. That's what God calls humility, is giving it all up, knowing I can do nothing. And the older I'm getting, the more I'm learning that. Because there are days, I can tell you, I'll say, Lord, you give me the strength for anything. You know, when you're young, you think you can do it all. You think you can just, I mean, you can. But as you get older, it's like, oh boy, this is getting harder and harder. And so you do tend to look more to, you have to trust the Lord in order to keep up. You know, I got 11 grandkids. Dear last Clint, they're a lot of work. He's been watching his for the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Yikes, yeah. So, at the end of the day, I still truly believe that as God's children, it's not like he wants us this year to take those things that the devil has robbed you of, either through deception or whatever. You stand your ground. You know that devil cannot change the truth. It is yours. It's legally yours. And there is no steps. It's not like you got to wait till you get to a place of where you feel like you're a little more holy to receive. Because it's not by your holiness. And it's not by your power. It's by his. And he's already declared you righteous. He's already declared you prosperous. He's already declared you healthy. Let's stand on it. Let's take it and know it cannot. It cannot pass away. It has to come to pass as long as we stand strong. And so in the midst of all of that, I do believe in Psalm 24, which is key, I believe. You know, when Jesus was explaining to his disciples about the end and how he says, when you see all these things beginning to come to pass, look up for your redemption draweth nigh. And I believe Psalm 24 is speaking to us of that. It says, lift up your heads, like pay attention, get your eyes off of the world and onto me, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, who is Jesus. Lift Jesus up and the King of glory will come in. I think our most important posture for the 2024 is in his presence. Relationship. It's always about relationship. Seek the giver, not the gifts. Okay? Seek the healer, not the health. And you will be healed. And I'm just so sure of that God is calling all of his children into a much closer relationship. It's not about what you do for him. He just wants to spend time with you. He wants to pour out his perception into your heart, because that's what's going to keep you strong in these next months. Because none of us really knows what's ahead for us. We don't know how long we're going to be here, 10 years, 20 years. We don't know that. But we do know that the coming of the Lord is soon. We know that. All the signs are pointing to that. But in the meantime, I believe the posture must be just the first and foremost thing that you can do for the Lord is just give him your time. Just spend time with him. Pray in the Spirit. Talk with him. You know, and all the rest will follow. You'll know where to go. You'll know what to do and how to see things. Like I said, that was the first time I'd ever heard the Holy Spirit laugh in my heart, ever. And I was like, you're laughing at that? I was indignant, and he was laughing. Like, so that just shows us how religious we really are, you know, or how afraid of what the enemy is doing, you know. I mean, and we're seeing that so much today with such blasphemous things that, you know, it's just, we could get all upset. It's just like, ha, ha, ha. You're trying to change God, devil. You can't change him. You can't change truth ever. And that's what he's trying to do. And so, like I said, our focus should be on the Lord every day and building that relationship. Because at the end of the day, that's where we're going, right? That's where we're going. I mean, we know that the whole church thing in the Bible has been compared to a Jewish wedding. And we know about the Jewish wedding, right? We know that he comes, he finds his bride, and then he promises, well, they get engaged. And then he goes back home with his father, which is what Jesus did. And he begins to build. And Jesus said, I'm going away and I'm preparing a place for you. And so the husband or the groom stays there until the father says, after he inspects all the work of the son and that the house is in order and yeah, he's ready for the bride, he says, okay, son, go get your bride. And that's where we're at right now. But in the meantime, the bride, it's called the snatching, actually the whole thing in the Jewish culture is called the snatching of the bride. And that's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for the snatching of the bride. But in the meantime, think about the bride. And the bride has to stay continually dressed. But when she knows the time is getting closer, don't you think she's getting more excited? Don't you think she's thinking more about her husband or her groom that's coming? And, you know, and not so much preparing her hair and her gown, which she supposedly is supposed to be wearing all the time, but her heart. He's coming. And I think that's where we are. Jesus is calling us to share our hearts with him. That's what he's wanted from the beginning. That's all he's ever wanted. And that's where we're going, right? Once we are up in the air with him, nothing else matters. And except him and our relationship with him, right? I mean, a bride wouldn't want to go with a stranger. You know, arranged marriage. This isn't an arranged marriage. He's given you your whole life to get to know him, right? And so we need to get to know him on a much deeper level. And I believe that all goes side by side with Joel chapter 2, where it says, in the latter days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. I believe it's going to be easier. We're going to hear his voice louder. I just know it's happening with me already. Like, I just know his voice. Like, it's like, whoa, you know, that was God. And it's a double portion of the spirit. Pray for a double portion. Pray that your heart sees as he sees. It feels like he feels. You know, I mean, for so long, the Bible even says we're going to know him even as we've been known. He knows exactly how we feel. He knows exactly how we see. But I want to know how he sees and how he feels so that I can change how I see and feel. Amen? Amen. We're going to close this morning and we're going to have communion. Clint or no, Donnie's up.